Here's a little-known provision of the immigration legislation that'll come up for debate next week in the Senate. It would double the number of permanent visas given each year to foreign workers, 450,000 a year for the next 10 years, to be exact. Now, these visas are not for the restaurant workers, janitors, and others who've been demonstrating lately. U.S. immigration law offers almost no legal way for them to be here. Nearly all the foreign workers who get eventual citizenship in the U.S. are highly skilled. Computer programmers, university researchers, nurses, and the like. Immigration advocates say the process takes too long and doesn't allow in as many people as businesses would like. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has the third and final part of our series on legal immigration.
Amid the lush, rolling hills of Silicon Valley, a young man named Jitender is a software consultant to a high-powered international company. At a campus-like complex where Birkenstocks are the norm, he wears a snappy suit and polished shoes. This is the kind of place he dreamed of back in his home country of India.
I think in mid-90s, U.S. acted as a giant magnet that attracted talent from all corners of the world. And I came in search of this career that included high technology and cutting-edge research.
But today, Jitender worries he's losing his cutting edge. He originally came in 1999 as a temporary worker on an H-1B visa. 4 years ago, his employer sponsored him for a permanent visa, or green card. But a process that's supposed to take months is still dragging on. And while it does, Jitender cannot change jobs, cannot even accept a substantial promotion or pay raise.
It is like clipping your wings. You can't fly. I know there are so many engineers come entrepreneurs who really want to get out and take this concept out into the market and start delivering services. But it's like they are leashed to their chairs.
It's very limiting to the person's growth. And we have to remember that these are the formative years of the individuals.
Shilpa Godgaonkar is with Immigration Voice, a group that formed this year to lobby Congress on behalf of high-tech workers. But it's not been easy getting their issues out. Take Jitender. Even though he's perfectly legal, he prefers not to reveal his last name or the name of his employer. In fact, numerous others waiting for a green card declined to speak at all on the record.
The fear is, I think, that if he were to speak up and make noise, so to say, he would basically jeopardize his situation, his job. And in several cases, leaving a job means leaving the country. People have families, have children, going to schools here. That is a big risk to take, I must say.
Godgaonkar says her group represents 500,000 people, all seeking one of the 140,000 employment-based green cards issued each year. As if those odds aren't tough enough, Crystal Williams of the American Immigration Lawyers Association says the quota is misleading. It actually includes visas for the foreign workers' spouses and children.
So the real numbers are closer to 50,000 to 70,000 a year.
And those numbers are then divided among various countries.
No more than 7% of those can come from any one country. So do the math. That's not many people. And there are certain countries where what we need, they are the greater suppliers for the engineers and scientists, India and China. For healthcare workers, the Philippines.
That means long backlogs in those key countries. And immigration attorney Daryl Buffenstein says that ties the hands of business.
If it's in our interest to bring someone here who's an expert on fuel technology, but we're unlucky enough where that person happens to be from India, well, sorry, you've got to wait for 10 or 12 years, whereas if you were from Sweden, we'd be able to let you in 2 or 3 years. It doesn't make any sense, and it just couldn't be more idiotic.
Elizabeth Dixon manages this overburdened system for Ingersoll Rand. The industrial manufacturer employs hundreds of foreign workers in the U.S. To obtain a permanent visa for them, the company must follow carefully delineated guidelines set by the Department of Labor to show it cannot find a qualified American for the job.
We advertise on the internet, on our website, which also goes out to Monster and some of those other employment, career builders, things like that.
The positions also listed in newspapers and a state job bank. Dixon says the rules favoring American applicants are so precise, a team of lawyers goes over the resumes that come in. And she says it can all get costly. Ingersoll Rand had one case some years back that went as high as $22,000.
That was a case where it was for a metrologist, which is a kind of quality engineer, but very specialized engineer. And we ended up going back and forth with the Department of Labor, and we actually had to show blueprints and everything else for them to really understand what a metrologist was and why, even though we had gotten a lot of applicants, none of them really had this specialized skill.
The existence of the immigration program actually distorts both the industry and the labor market.
Mark Krikorian is with the Center for Immigration Studies, a group that wants lower immigration levels. He sees foreign workers as a type of business subsidy, a crutch that hides the shortcomings of the U.S. economy.
In other words, if there aren't a sufficient number of widget engineers being graduated by American schools, that's a market signal that business isn't paying enough for entry-level widget engineers, that schools aren't devoting enough class time to widget engineering, and using an immigration program to import widget engineers from outside short circuits the natural working of the free market.
Adjusting American education, though, is a long-term strategy. Businesses counter their competing now in the global market. Crystal Williams of the American Immigration Lawyers Association says if foreign workers can't come here, the businesses that need them will have to go abroad.
I think we will see more and more outsourcing. I think we will see the balance of innovation, invention, and growth moving to other countries.
Jitender, the software consultant in Silicon Valley, sees it happening already. The process of getting a U.S. green card is so arduous, he says, many of his talented colleagues are giving up.
I know dozens of my friends who have left this country because they're exhausted waiting. So I have personally bid farewell to all these people, not just Indians, but Chinese also, and they don't seem to regret their decision.
Jitender says he and his wife have talked many times of leaving the U.S., but their entire careers have been here, and they have a one-year-old American son. So for now, they continue to hope and wait. Jennifer Lutton, NPR News.
You can hear the previous reports in Jennifer's series on legal immigration at our website, npr.org.